Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I'm your host, Brittany A.J. Muricki, the founder of Sisters in STEM. If you're new to our audience and don't really know who we are, Sisters in STEM is a multimedia platform aimed toward empowering women of color in their daily lives and their passion for science, technology, engineering, and math. I created this podcast to showcase empowered women, STEM-powered women. Today, we're going to take a deep dive into what it really means to be a professional engineer. That's right, you put in work in college, got that degree, making strides in the workforce, and yet you're technically still not a professional engineer. Are you going to put in the extra work to get that profound title? Is it even worth your time? That's what we're going to help you figure out as we give you the ins and outs of a professional engineer's career. Now let's get to it. Today in our guest chair is Amma Ade.
Yay!
Say, hey girl!
Hey girl!
Hey! You guys have no clue how long we've been trying to do this interview.
Yes.
I asked her about a year ago.
She did. But I'm here.
You are
now.
Here.
Yes.
I'm excited. And
yes,
I'm happy to have you here.
Thank you.
So why don't you tell us a little about who you are and what you do.
Okay. So I'm Amma Ade, as Brittany said.
I said it wrong.
Girl, it's either way. Ade, Ade, it all works.
Okay.
It's all me. So I'm a licensed professional engineer here in the state of Illinois, born and raised in Chicago. I attended the University of Illinois in Urbana-Champaign, received my degree in civil engineering, then went on and got my master's from Illinois Institute of Technology, also here in Chicago. Worked in construction for a few years for a general contractor. The market changed and I changed with it. So I got into design and did some standard civil design, like parking lots and sewers, nothing super sexy, but you know, that's it. And I've done quite a bit of work for the consultant that I'm with now. I've been there for about 7 years, things related to highway design, and then did some work related to some rail work. And I'm now doing work related to utilities. And so I do a lot of work for our local power distribution company, gas distribution company, and a lot of utility coordination work for some of our major agencies in the area.
Nice.
That's me.
Okay. Nice. So why don't you tell us a little, what does it mean to be a professional engineer?
Good question. So being a professional engineer or a licensed professional engineer just means that you're licensed by your state. So similar to being a nurse or a real estate agent, you actually have licensure from the state. And so there's a couple steps you got to take to get there. But at the end of the day, you literally have a certificate saying that you are licensed to do professional engineering in the state of Illinois or any other state that you would do it in.
Okay. See, because that had me a little confused when I first heard about it. I'm like, I work in corporate America. I'm a professional.
Yes. Yes, you are. Yes, you are.
But
you
want to
be licensed. Correct.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what is the process to really get into it?
Okay. So I always, whenever folks ask me about this, I say the first thing you should do is you should look at what the regulation is for your state. And every state has a licensee agency. But I'll give you generally what the process is. So, of course, you want to get an engineering degree. This is very general. There's other paths, but I'll say the most general is that you get an engineering degree from an ABET accredited university. And so ABET is American Board for Engineering and Technology, right? So you want to get an accredited engineering degree. At some point, either your senior year or shortly after, you would take the FE exam, which is your Fundamentals of Engineering exam. And that basically is just a level setting exam. It says, I've learned what I basically need to learn out of my engineering degree, mm-hmm. right? And it's specialized civil, electrical, mechanical, so on and so forth, right? And then typically there's a required amount of work experience. So say in the state of Illinois, you need to work for 48 months or 4 years under a licensed engineer doing work related to your degree, so engineering work. And then at the very end of it, you take your professional engineering exam, or it's, I think it's officially called practices in engineering exam, or your PE exam. That's about an 8-hour exam that you sit for. I know, it's okay. It's just a day. It's just one day. It's just one day. It's totally doable. If I did it, it's doable. Trust me.
8 hours?
It is. It's okay.
I thought the ACT was long.
No, girl, it's longer. It
is.
But you do that exam and then you pass it, you kill it. And it's just a pass or fail. So pass or fail,
okay.
Right? You pass it and then you actually get your license from the state. Now there's lots of other things. Now, again, so it's just two little tests and some work experience. That's it.
Mm.
That's it. That's it.
It sounds a little long.
It sounds like it spans over quite a few years, because you said you work 4 years under a licensed professional?
Correct. And again, every state, though, the timing on that and the order in which it all happens can be varied by state. It all is based on your state laws.
Okay.
So like in Illinois, it changes back and forth. So some folks nowadays can take their fundamentals exam and their professional exam all at the same weekend. I wouldn't do it, but you know, some people are out there trying to prove something. I don't know, child, but you know.
Okay.
Yes, okay.
I think I've heard of people doing that because I think they're trying to, you know, oh, I already studied for the FE. Let me just knock out this PE at the same time because I'm still in study mode.
I mean,
and trying to go for
it. There is something to that. So, right? So, and this is one thing I've been telling everyone. So, take your FE as shortly after college, if you haven't taken it your senior year, as shortly after college as possible. Because mm-hmm. Your brain is still there, right? Your mm-hmm. brain is still in that rhythm. So the FE, for sure, I advise everyone to take either your senior year in college or shortly thereafter. Like, okay. Just do, right? Because mm-hmm. there's like things on there that you're like, I haven't seen that in years. Just take it while you're freshly out of college. Also, I'll put a pin in that. So also, the beautiful thing is if you may have had some challenges academically in college, maybe your college career, what, you know, didn't produce a GPA that you might have loved, the FE is a great leveling, right? Oh. So it's like, hey, maybe I didn't have like a 3.5 in college, but I passed the FE, which proves that I've met this basic minimum, right? Oh. The same as the kid who got the 4.0, the same as the kid who, if you took the exam and you passed it, you passed, right? Okay. So that's always something nice.
That's a good selling point. Because I've always felt like, my GPA, it was all right. It wasn't, okay. In the eyes of others, they're like, you could have did better. In my eyes,
like, I did it.
I did that.
I did that, okay?
I did that.
She did that, yes.
But if I got, you know, the FE, then that'll help. Okay.
It's a leveling, right?
Get the little EIT after my name.
Right. And okay. I'll be honest with you. So here's a tip I always tell young engineers is that the first job is probably the only job that will ask you about your GPA. After that first job, you're usually going to be speaking more and more, and I interview quite a few people, you're going to be speaking more and more about what you did at mm-hmm. your last job, because that's what people want to see, right? Yeah. They're like, okay, that's great, so you got a whatever GPA. Because if you had a 4.0, but then you worked 5 years and barely did anything, that's not as impressive as if you like, hey, maybe I had a, you know, not the most impressive GPA, but I've done all these amazing things in my career. Like that, I'm more impressed by that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good to know. You've already been telling us, but why should more Black women get licensed?
Oh man. So here's what I say about it is that it's not a magic like potion, right? Mm-hmm. But it gives you options. Right. And specifically, if you are maybe an underrepresented group in an industry, you want as many options as you can give yourself. Right. Because mm-hmm. you don't know where you will end up necessarily. Right. And so it's kind of like a key. Right. Your engineering degree got you into a certain space. Mm-hmm. Right. Your work experience will get you into a certain space. Having licensure will get you into a certain space. There are specific jobs, positions, projects that you just can't even be on without a license. Mm-hmm. And so why take that option away from yourself? That's what I say. You never use it, you never lose it, nothing lost.
That's true.
But when you need it, you would hate to be right when you need it and be like, oh God, now I've got to start the process. Mm-hmm. So why not just do it?
I feel like we're at a disadvantage because no one was really coming to the NSBE office saying, hey, y'all need to take this test. This is what everybody's doing. So y'all should start studying now because this is what we're doing. And
absolutely.
As a mechanical engineer, I thought that was just some civil-ish.
You're right.
I don't need to take that test.
Absolutely. What? And I completely get that. So, right, civil engineers generally are more encouraged to take it, right? Mm-hmm. But I've been encouraging everyone. And this is why. If you ever work for a consultant, right, where you are designing things for an agency, someone has to stamp the plans, right? And whoever stamps mm-hmm. the plans is the engineer on record. So you could have done 3 months of work, but the person who gets the record is the one who did the final check and who stamps it. Well, I want to be the person who got the credit for my work.
Okay.
Right? And so if you are working, like you said, for a utility, I know both of us do work for utilities, right? If you're doing work for a utility, they're going to want, you know, a stamp on their design. Mm-hmm. Why wouldn't you be the person to stamp it? Why not?
That is true. And there's out of a team of, we have like 20, 22 on our utilities team. And there's like two people that can actually stamp our plans.
And those are the engineers on record. Yeah. You're just going to be an initial in the title block, right? But
right? Even if you That's did all true. The work.
Even if you did all the work, you know?
That is true.
And so... You know, and that's true. And I will say you made a good point. I think non-civil degrees don't get encouraged to do it as much. Mm-hmm. And I, again, I say, what is there to lose? You just never know where you'll end up.
Mm-hmm.
I knew nothing about utilities. And I'm going to be like, for any young engineers, you may want to look into utilities. It's a whole market. It's they don't growing. Teach us about in college. So,
they don't.
Yeah, it's like utilities and rail. Markets that they don't necessarily teach us about in undergrad. But again, my thing is this. Why wouldn't you just give yourself the opportunity? While you're young and your brain is still fresh, mm-hmm. just do it.
Okay.
You just don't want to be like 20 years down the line and be like, man, I wanted to be vice president of engineering over here, but the company's requirement is that you have a PE.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You've done all this work, and then like that one thing that you could have done when you were 25 is holding you up.
That's true. That is very true. I remember hearing ASME, what was that? American.
Oh, yeah. American Society of Mechanical Engineers.
Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. There's an ASCE, American Society of Civil Engineers. There's an ISPE, Illinois Society of Professional Engineers. There's all sorts of organizations.
But I remember them hosting, I think, study sessions.
Yes.
For the...
Yes.
I'm guessing it must have been the FE.
Yes.
I wasn't paying attention. I just didn't know.
No.
I was, in my head, I still had that registered as being a civil thing.
Right.
So I'm like, I don't actually need that. I'm probably going to be working in someone's factory, designing on someone's CAD,
right.
doing all that stuff. But I didn't, in my head, I wasn't picturing, oh, we need to stamp these plans.
So, right. Because no one ever teaches us in undergrad what the process is.
Yeah.
Right. And so, you know, we learn a lot of theory, but no one actually teaches like practically the practicals of what happens when we get out into a workplace, mm-hmm. right? So a lot of times, unfortunately, if you don't, you know, unfortunately, some of our classmates may have had like dads or uncles or moms or whatever who are engineers, so someone told them.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody really tells us.
That's true.
So, you know, that's why I've been pushing a lot of sisters to do it. Again, I'm always for why cut your options now?
Mm-hmm.
You just never know in 10 years where you'll be. And a specific thing I always highlight for a lot of women is that if you choose to have a family, mm-hmm. right? Your 10 years from now may look so different than right now.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't want to be like up for that promotion and be like, oh my God, I've got 3 kids at home and a husband or a wife, whatever, you know, whatever. And you're like, I can't study now where I could have studied before. So again, for women in particular, the timing on this can be a little different than it is maybe for our male counterparts.
What was your time frame on getting your PE?
Oh, girl, child. So I, gosh. So I didn't do all the research necessarily, right? So, and this is why I push for people to learn what their state requirements are. So particularly when I was taking the, you know, the FEPE thing, you know, I'm not gonna tell you how many years ago, because I've been telling you I'm old. So it was that you had to send confirmation. So I took it I remember it was homecoming weekend, my senior year. I was like, I didn't study for it. I'm not going to take it. I called my mom the Friday before. I was like, I'm not taking that exam. She's like, yes, you are.
Uh-huh.
Yes, you are. And I'm like, you better get up in the morning, you better take that test. I was like, okay. So I got up, took the test, ended up passing it, right?
Nice.
And then I didn't know, because I didn't read state law, that at the time you had 12 months to send confirmation of graduation into the licensing agency or they voided your scores.
What?
Yeah, girl. So I had to take it twice.
No.
She had to pass it twice. So she was sick about it. But that's why I tell people, learn what your state regulations are. Because on the top of it, it's not free. Okay, she's not free. So I ended up having to pass it senior year. And then because I didn't know what state legislature said at the time, I ended up having to take it again.
Uh-huh. Wow.
I was real hot about it. Now, now the law says you don't have to do that.
Uh-huh.
But at the time, the law said that. Oh, and so what happens is it creates a space that if you're not in the know,
then you're just at a loss.
You're at a loss, right? And that could have discouraged a lot of people. The fact, I'm like, I already passed it. And I remember talking to people in Springfield. Springfield's our capital here, right? So I'm talking to the folks at the capital. I'm like, but I passed it. Like, oh, no, we can see you passed it.
Mm-hmm.
But you didn't do this, this, and this. So you have to take it again.
Wow.
And so, again, if you're not in the know, you could be at a loss. And for a lot of folks, that would have been highly discouraging. Like, I don't want to do this again. I don't want to have to.
That would have been me.
It was a fluke. I feel like it was a fluke. I passed the first time. Now I have to go take it again.
Every time I take a test, this is also what's pushing me away from it. Because every time I take a test, even back in high school for the ACT, SAT, whatever it was, my nose, it's like my body got sick. My nose would be running the whole time during the test.
Yes.
My eyes watery.
Yes.
I'm just trying to focus doing this. This would happen in college too, with just exams. And I don't
know what my body goes through. So
test anxiety.
Yeah.
It's anxiety. And it shows up in people different ways, you know?
Yeah. And that's why I'm like, I don't want to go through that again. I don't want to study for this and then just get there and then be like,
I know. It's a lot. And I think like that's part of it is trying to figure out like, what do you need to do? Right. Mm-hmm. So, different things you can do. So, some companies, like the mega companies, right, they may offer a prep course for their engineers. Or like some of the professional organizations you talked about may offer a prep course. Look and see if your company will pay for you to take a prep course. Some companies will be like, hey, I mean, yeah, if you want to take it and take your license, right? If you've got a team that's large and there's like, hey, I see an opportunity. So particularly of your team, if there's only so many PEs, but there's this whole team, and you know it's all going, you know that there's a need. Why not step into the need, right? Yep. Make yourself indispensable if you can.
That is true.
Right? So, you know, there are prep courses. The School of PE has a prep course. Kaplan has a few prep courses. They're like online, on demand, or they can be in classrooms depending on where you live.
There are prep books.
Prep books. And honestly, I think the book prep book for most engineers would be enough for the FE.
Those things is big.
They're big.
They are. It's like this.
Yeah, it's real.
I got a... I got that, and then I think I got, like, the little small solutions books.
Yes.
And
yes.
It's all borrowed from my company.
And that's the way to do it. Like, that's, like, one of the tips I give people, too. Like,
so me. I started 2 years ago. I still got it.
You like my engineer. So I got one engineer in particular that I yell at every time I see him.
About taking the test?
About taking that dang test. He's so smart. Like, just take the dang test. Don't let your fears stop you from your opportunities, girl. You're going to be so scared you're going to miss out on an opportunity.
That is very true.
And here's what I tell people, too. And if you fail, what's the worst that happens? Mm-hmm. It's nothing lost. Because you didn't have it before.
Yeah.
But now what you have is knowledge of the test. I guarantee you, if you go into the exam and maybe you don't pass it the first time, then the next time you go in, you will. Because now you know what you're up against. Right? Okay, you lost $300. Girl, that's a good sum win. Braid it up for a couple months. Uh-huh. Take the test.
Rock your fro
at work. You know, scare the people. Uh-huh. Or don't. They're like, oh my God. It's a whole nother topic. But, you know, wear your fro for a few months. Go take the test. Right? Mm-hmm. And that's my thing. Again, I just feel like why you never know where it will come up.
And then you could probably get reimbursed.
Depending on where you are. Absolutely.
If you pass.
If you pass.
I think that's my company's thing. If you pass, then you'll get your money back.
So my company no longer pays, my personal company that I work with.
Yeah.
They no longer pay for the FE, but they absolutely reimburse for the PE.
Okay.
Absolutely. They'll reimburse for, right now, because there's such, we really want to encourage our young engineers. We're a growing firm.
Mm-hmm.
We absolutely want to encourage our engineers to do it.
Yeah.
So we reimburse for the class if you choose to take it. Now, I will say, if you can swing it, the PE course is probably your biggest bang for the buck. So it usually is going to run you somewhere between $1,200 to $2,000. I know, girl, but depending on where you're at. Okay. If you can swing it. It is a great thing. And because of, and also what's great about it is that those schools usually guarantee passing. And if you don't pass, you usually can retake the class for free.
Oh, okay.
So you got to look and see what the different schools are. Like I said, School of PE, Kaplan, etc.
That helps.
But it does help. And so tips I say is that if you can swing it, a review class. I did not have the funds for a review class when I took my PE. I was, you know, financially challenged at the time. So I bought the books, all the review. I got on Google because she's free. And I got on Google and I figured out what are the books I needed. And I studied. One of my friends was in grad school. And I was like, girl, can you let me into your grad school library? And after work, I went to the grad school library where she was at. And I just studied after work. So nice. That's what worked for me because I couldn't swing the class. But if you can, and I wasn't with a firm at that time that would reimburse me. So it was like, I'm out if I don't pass this test, right? And then the other tip I always give people is if you know someone who's recently done it. So me, I've been licensed for 7 years now, right?
Oh, wow.
So the test is way different now than when I took it. It is, and it turns over every few years like that. So I would say if you can find someone at your company.
And you took the civil test.
I took the civil test.
Okay. Because you can choose, even if you're not
a
civil, you can take the civil test. Or if you're a mechanical, you could take the nuclear test.
Right.
Like,
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah, and it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be your degree. So let's say that you had the degree in mechanical engineering, mm-hmm. but your last 4 years you've been doing civil work. Mm-hmm. And say, and even in civil, you can say, well, maybe I worked for a construction firm. So I took it in construction because at the time I was working for a construction firm, mm-hmm. right? Or maybe you've been doing transportation design for the last few years. You can choose the transportation leg. So it doesn't have to be in line with your degree. Mm-hmm. It's based on what you know. Pick the test that works best. You ain't got nothing to prove to anybody else. At the end of the day, no one, oh, I'm going to say this to the camera. At the end of the day, no one asked you, will ask you what test you took. All they see is that P and that E.
That is true.
All you had to do was pass. Just like I tell people after that first job, very few interviews will ask you what your GPA was in undergrad. Mm-hmm. So don't get so caught up. Get through. Get through it. Get to the other end, get your receipt, get your degree, and get on.
Right? Which one is the easiest?
Which one?
Which, you know, which FE, which PE, you know, out of all the different ones.
Oh, that's a good question.
Because I heard someone took, I think the environmental he did.
Now, environmental wasn't even an option, girl, when I was doing it again. She's old. So, I
don't want to leave you parched. Do you want your wine?
Oh, yes, girl, please. Yes. This is what we've been doing. So,
yes. Up to that. We drink it, y'all.
Clink. I really think it has to be based on what you've been doing.
Okay.
For me, for some people, like for our electrical engineers, like the electrical part would be super easy. For me, I skipped the whole electrical part on the PE exam because I knew nothing. And I figured out like, okay, if I do well in all these other sections, I can just literally skip this part. And that's what I did.
Oh. Mm-hmm. So you actually skipped
it. Oh, you think I was joking? No, I was not. I knew nothing about electrical engineering. So, like, circuits, what? Resistance, huh? Yeah. I mean, I knew what they were. Mm-hmm. And all the electricals are probably laughing. Right, but...
It's been a minute.
So I literally strategized. And that's it. I tell people all the time, it's about strategy. Mm-hmm. No one is in that test with you. No one is going to be like, oh, girl, you got a whatever score on this or that. It's pass-fail. So my focus is to pass. And to move on. Like,
okay.
That's it. Get out of college, get that degree, and get that first job.
Is there a certain number out of whatever that allows you to pass?
They don't have anything official on the books, but everyone says 70%. But I've never seen anything official.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So you need a high C. Okay.
A high C, girl. C's make degrees, and apparently also licenses. Okay. You think everybody on there is getting 100? They're not.
So that's good to know.
Yeah.
That is definitely good to know. If someone wants to become a professional engineer, where should they start? I know you started with saying like, okay, get your engineering degree
said
there's a couple other routes.
So, you know, depending on what state you're in. So say in the state of Illinois, you don't have to have an engineering degree to get your license. You can have worked in engineering for X amount of years to qualify to take your first exam. Yes. So I think it's, and I'm guessing, guys, apologies, but again, I'm going to tell you, Google, she's open 24 hours a day and free. So you can, if I remember right, in Illinois, you can work in the industry under a PE for 8 years. And then it's a longer path without the engineering degree. Of course, it's a longer path. But you could have done engineering work. And you have to remember, this is an industry that is just now more degree focused. There were a lot of people back in the day, you would enter into engineering without an engineering degree. That doesn't necessarily doesn't happen as much nowadays, but it used to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it was in the books that you could work for 8 years in Illinois and doing engineering work, and then you could sit for your FE exam, right? Oh, okay. And I also know some people who had
8 years, then the FE.
Well, and you don't have the degree.
Okay.
So essentially, think about it. Like,
you didn't do college. You're just working.
Right. So they're just trying to give you some time to get a little more meat under your belt. Right. Yeah. Again, the faster method is to go get engineering, but that's not everyone's path. Mm-hmm. Right. The engineering degree. And then I know some people who had non-engineering degrees and went back to school and took like one or two classes to actually get, the engineering credits.
Uh-huh.
So that's another path. So maybe you took... engineering technology. Some schools have engineering technology degrees. And so that's not necessarily an ABET degree, or it's not necessarily an engineering degree. And so if you look it up, it may say, oh, I only need two classes. Well, I'll go take the two classes.
Yeah.
And then go take my FE exam. So there's different paths. But again, I'm always going to say, if you really have a question, start with figuring out what the rules are for your state.
Okay.
And so like, there's going to be a professional engineering group in every state. So like I said, for Illinois, it's the Illinois Society of Professional Engineers. And then there's some more general sites like NCESS and things like that you can go to. But just Google how to get a PE in state X.
it'll come right on up.
I think one thing I did hear about California is that PEs out there also have to take another section related to earthquakes.
Yeah, they have to take a seismic section.
Yeah.
And different states have different things like that. So some states, that's the honest truth, is some states are a little more difficult to get your license in than others because those states are, that's why it's so statewide. Every state is going to have different things that the engineers have to deal with. So whereas me in Flatland, Illinois, I may not need to know about something that someone in California may need to know about, you know, wildfires. And whereas somebody in California may not need to have anything about snow loads, right? I mean, depending on where they are. So, you know, some things get tailored a little bit more. And so they may add different sections for you. One thing that's nice too about once you have your license is, you know, I'd say some of our more tough states are like your Pennsylvania's. If you live in Pennsylvania, definitely go look and see what your rules are because your guys' rules are drastically different. If you live in California, go see what your rules are because they're a little different than most. Illinois is a little more, you know, considered a little more challenging state to get your license in, or at least was. What's nice is you can get reciprocity in other states. So if I have my license in Illinois, there is a method in which I can go apply for my license in other states. So once you get in that first one to get the other states. So if you, if you're in the industry, you may see those folks who have like the asterisks and they're like PE and it's like licensed in and they've got like 12 states listed behind.
There are people with some really long business cards.
Man, it's a thing. It's like a thing. Okay, whatever. But if you would work for a company that's got this new growing market in these different states that could serve you, that can make you an asset. But a lot of states have reciprocity. So, again, once you get in, girl, you're in.
Yeah,
right?
It's pretty much just filling out paperwork to get licensed in that next state without actually having to take the test all over again.
Correct. Now, some states may have new things you might have to do. Like, ethics is a big thing. Like, some states may have additional ethics tests you have to take, or a seismic section of things, you know, things like that.
Ethics?
I don't know, you know. I don't know. Just ethics questions. It's, you know, don't be foul.
Okay.
Don't steal nothing, child.
Okay.
You know, the things your mom would say. They should be common sense. Hopefully, we're mostly ethical people. I don't know if anybody would fail the ethics section, but... Who knows?
Sally redid the dimension. Do you tell on her or do you just
Leave her? Like, you know that this is not built to the size. You know that her bridge is going to fall in like 5 years. Do you say something or not?
Yeah.
Please. Please do. Because you may be the one on that bridge.
Yes.
Please do. Just do that. I don't know. It's been a while. I told you she's old. So it's been a while.
So are there any trade secrets and tips that you can share with us about the exam, studying for it, and trying to pass it?
You know, like I said, it's, you know, I think the tricks are, A, get to really know, understand what your requirements are for your state, because that's going to catch up. It caught me up. So it's going to catch up if you don't understand what the law says for your state. The other thing is, if you can find someone who has recently done it, that's going to be a huge asset. Because like I said, it turns over every few years. And like you said, they can also help you by letting you borrow their stuff. So instead of you spending several hundred dollars on this reference book, they might be like, I'm done with it. I pass. Yeah, go take it. Take my book, right? We have a whole book bag that just kind of travels around our office and everyone just adds another reference to it as they take theirs, right? So there's a whole reference book. Your company may already have it and you don't even know. There may be a whole PE reference library somewhere that you're not aware of. So just ask. Here's a tip that I, so I'm going to give you guys a thing. So I was, here's my tip. So study, which sounds like a ridiculous thing to say. Okay. So here's the thing. Alma was arrogant as blazes. Alma was like, she's smart. She don't need to study. Do you know that I did not study for the PE and I just went in and took that test?
What?
Yeah, I tried myself.
No.
I did. I tried myself. I was like, oh, the FE was so easy that I was just like, oh. How much harder can the PE be? Don't do that. Don't do that because you're just going to waste your money and you're going to be in the test realizing that there's references you're missing. There's books you're missing.
Oh, wait. Books you got to bring with you?
Oh, yeah. There you go. So,
what?
Yes. So the FE, the way the FE is set up, now it depends on your state some or what your testing agency. I think there's, when I took it, it was only offered in written. You can only take it written.
I think it's all on the computer now.
Now it's all on the computer, child, you know. I would not have been able to take that test on the computer, but again.
Uh-huh.
You know my tagline, she yelled. So they used to give you a reference book. So you take this exam, I think it's now it's 6 hours. It used to be 8, now it's 6. Mm-hmm. They used to give you a reference guide, and that was the only thing you could have in there was the scratch paper and this reference guide. Now okay. you could download the reference guide ahead of time so you knew what was in the book.
Yeah. Can right? you mark it up?
Like I don't know.
Notes.
You mark up the scratch paper.
Okay.
Right? So now the way the test is, now it's on a computer, mm-hmm. is that they literally give you a PDF reference book, right? Right? Okay. And then you have your test. So you're kind of like doing your thing with the test and the reference guide.
Okay.
So that's all you're able to have in your fundamentals exam, right? That's the one that you take either senior year or shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
That's your fundamentals exam. So all you have is the reference guide that they're going to hand you and some scratch paper.
Gotcha.
In your PE, and then if so, those of us who are civil or structural, if you potentially take your SE exam, which is another level, which is like
surveyor.
Girl, no, that's your structural engineering license. So some states require you to also take a separate structural engineering exam.
Oh, okay.
That's not my life, but
I mean, we want our buildings to be safe.
We do, and Illinois requires an SE. So again, depends on your state regs. Not every state does. Illinois does. In the PE, you bring your own references. All they hand you is the test and some scratch paper.
Mm-mm.
You have to have your own references. Okay, so here's the deal. This is where it serves you to know someone who just took the test. Because,
yeah.
like, every reference you had to bring in yourself. So, I mean, when I took the test, there were little people rolling in suitcases now. That's a bit wow. much. Because you only have so many hours. Like, you're not going to be able to look through, like, a suitcase full of references,
yeah.
right? But you have to bring your own references for the PE. And the thought, and this is why I also tell people to maybe wait till you've worked a little longer.
Uh-huh.
Because the idea is that you've worked in the industry. And so in your design work, you would already have these references on your shelf. That's the thought, right? If I worked in transportation.
I don't get no books.
I know. Y'all don't have no books nowadays, child.
But I don't get no books.
Well, here's what I will tell you that the prep courses do is that they have these binders now that they give you. Which have like all the apparently references that you need all in a little like cheat sheet type of binder.
And that would make the course worth it.
Hello?
Huh.
Or you just find somebody who just took the course and they give you the binder. I'm just saying. It's you.
True. That is true.
Be resourceful. Be resourceful. If you have the resources. If you have the resources.
So what's life like after the PE? Am I just stamping a whole bunch of boring drawings for the rest of my life? Or am I getting some more money?
Oh, okay.
What are we doing?
So, okay. So here's the thing. Day one after the PE is just like the day before the PE.
Okay.
You go back to your job and like, oh, okay, great. Right? I mean, some companies have things like bonuses or things like that. It just depends on what your mm-hmm. company does. But here's what I tell people. You don't really see the effects of you taking that exam to about like 3 years, 5 years, 10 years, blah, blah, blah. Here's what I'm gonna tell you. I told you it's a key. It lets you in the door, right?
Okay.
So all it is doing is it's opening up opportunities for you that maybe weren't open to you before the PE.
Okay.
But typically what happens is that you take on maybe a little more responsibility with some of your jobs, right? So you got the PE, that's great. That opened the door for you. But now those next few years, you're proving that you actually can do what this test says you can do.
Okay.
Right? So the test is one thing. It's like your degree. You got the degree. It's not like somebody's going to let you go and design like the biggest thing in the world
yeah.
because you got this degree. It just got you in the room.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so that's what I say the PE does. It now gets you in that room. So now there's opportunities that are open to you that may not have been open to you. So I always tell people those first few years is about you being like, okay, now I've got this PE. You want to look at the engineers ahead of you with the PEs and say, like, what are they doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe your company only lets PMs have PEs. Like, some companies who are design-heavy firms, you'll look around and every PM, every project manager has a license, right? So at some firms, that's only an option to you
uh-huh.
with license, right?
Yeah.
So you're not going to just, like, pass a PE and the next day you're going to be a project manager at those kind of firms.
Mm-hmm.
But those project managers are like, oh, okay. You've made a personal investment in your career. You've kind of put like a stake in it. Like, this is what I want to do. And I've made the investment in myself to let everyone else know this is what I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
That invites other people then now invest in you as well. Like, oh, okay, she took a PE. She must really want to do this thing. Okay, let me give her a couple of other opportunities. I've got this one portion of my project I could probably hand over to her and see how she does.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what happens. Those first few years after your PE, it just opens you up. You may get invited to for more things. You may get, you know, just things like that,
okay.
right? They're like, oh, and you know, Brittany's a new PE, you know, it just opens doors, right?
Gotcha.
Those next few years are about you now absorbing all the things you need so that you can have that next jump,
mm-hmm.
right? I will say, again, for me, the PE has been more about opening the space. Again, there are some spaces, some projects, and some positions that you can't even have access to without your license, depending on what industry you work in. Okay. Not every industry, but some. And specifically in my industry, because I am a civil. So if there are any civil engineers, I just think this is like a requirement. I just think you should just do it. Just do it. Because in the civil engineer world, there are absolutely positions where you don't have access to without your license. And okay. I don't care where you're at. That's it. Right. And so I'm just now starting to see, like, it definitely opened up opportunities. There were definitely people who were looking to hire me, things like that, because of the license. And I think a lot of that is because you take that investment. You're like, oh, she must. Again, people who may not want to stay an engineer are probably not going to do this. Mm-hmm. People who have decided, I've worked for a few years, I really like this, this is where I want to be, are going to make that investment into the career.
Yeah.
And it shows. People are like, oh, she must really like this stuff. And she passed this exam.
Okay.
Like I always tell people, it's all about getting in the space, in the room. So I don't know how many people were in NSBE, right? But one of the things we said we always want to do is we want to positively impact the community, right?
That is true.
So it's our tagline, it's the end, right? So those folks who are in NSBE, you know, we Mother Region 4. Okay. So.
Solid.
Hello. So. One of the things that I'm just now starting to, I told you I took my PE, I got my license 7 years ago, right?
Yeah.
I'm just now in these spaces and I'm realizing that I'm in these meetings. It's like 20 people in the room and everyone in the room's got a license.
Okay.
Right? I'm doing, because specifically in my industry, I'm doing public infrastructure and public improvement work, right?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the stuff that impacts people every day. It's like the roads you drive on. It's, you know, you flip the switch and your light needs to come on. It's the people who make the decisions about what the newest road in front of you looks like. As opposed to the folks who make the decisions about, you know, which pipe gets replaced where.
Right? Yeah.
And a very unique thing about my industry, especially in civil, is that, like I said, everything we touch civilians. That's where civil comes from. It's a civilian engineering, right? Mm-hmm. That's what it used to be old school, right?
I never put that together.
Okay. It's okay. It's like mechanical engineering. You know, come from something, yeah. Right? And so, you're like,
oh. Yeah, after you nugget. I was just like, yeah. Wait, what?
Nugget. Right, and I think it actually comes from a military background. The girl, don't get me on the history, but you know, she's the oldest version of engineering out there. You know, Egyptians and things.
Oh my goodness!
But so everything I do in this part of my career now touches the public, right? Mm-hmm. Like where the buses go in the city, like, you know, things like that. How do we make a pedestrian path during a construction zone? Like those kind of things. And so in this part of my career, I'm doing projects where we get a lot of public input. So like there may be public involvement meetings, right? So here's a unique opportunity. Now I'm now in the room.
Okay.
Right. And so we're reading through all this public feedback. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm literally like, wait, but I live down the street from that project. Right.
Yeah.
Now, how many people you think are, Chicago's one of those kind of cities where it's like, how many people do you think is living in the neighborhood where this work is happening?
Yeah.
So I get to have this unique position to say, oh, I know what they were talking about. Yeah, I drive down that road every day and the lineup is this. Or yeah, you know, the signal timing on that isn't great. I would suggest we do that. Now my voice as a part of the community is now validated.
Okay.
A little differently than, you know, we get all these questionnaires and things, and not to say that we dismiss them, but it's a way different conversation when someone on the same level as everyone in the room is now giving that same kind of feedback, right? And I can now almost translate it in a space where I can speak to that audience and their language, right? And I'm trusted because I have a license and I have this experience behind me. There's some trust that comes with there. There's some responsibility that comes with that license. And so, you know, not to say that you wouldn't get it with experience, but the license gets you there a little quicker.
Okay.
That's my thoughts on it. Again, I'm going to tell you, some of the rooms I'm in, I look around, I realize there's no one in the room who doesn't have a license with me.
So you're in a manager role now. How long after getting that license did that come along?
Yeah, so I tell a lot of people the management is part luck and part opportunity, like what's in front of you. I mean, part of it, who you are.
Mm-hmm.
For some folks, it's going to take longer. Clearly, I'm not afraid to talk. Clearly, she's, you know, a little more out here. So, you know, when people see that you're not afraid to interact with folks, some of those opportunities may come to you a little quicker.
Okay.
But again, part of it is opportunity. There's got to be opportunities to manage ahead of you, right? Mm-hmm. If the whole management team is already filled up with people exactly your age group, what's the likelihood
Yeah.
That you're going to be opened up with an opportunity, right? Mm-hmm. So it's about putting yourself in the right places at the right time with the right opportunities and being ready, which mm-hmm. also the license helps you do, because you just, okay, I'm here with this license. I'm ready to go whenever y'all are ready for me, right? I mean,
just say the word.
And I'm there, right? I got all these things in my bag ready for you.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to put a time on it. It's really that. It's part luck and it's part, you know, you. It's, the opportunity has to be there. You're not going to just walk in the door to PE and be like, I want to be a manager. And I'm like, based on what? That's nice. You meet these basic requirements, but what else? Right? Again, this is the basic requirements. So it's like saying, I got an engineering degree. Make me whatever. Like, yeah. It just gets you there. You know, I had a really unique opportunity. And you know, I worked for a small firm. Working for a small firm gave me some opportunities to get at things maybe a little sooner than it would have been at like a big mega 10,000 person firm, right? Mm-hmm. So I had a unique situation there. Okay, so here's, I'll tell you guys the answers that I tell a lot of my young engineers is that you first show yourself to be a manager by showing that you manage yourself well. Okay. And this is something that a lot of people miss, right? Huh. If I've got to constantly tell you to turn your timesheets in, or I'm constantly having to give you the same notes on your designs, uh-huh. then it shows me that you don't manage yourself well.
Then how you gonna manage?
How you gonna manage a project? How you gonna manage a team? How you gonna manage a client? Right? I mean, and so a lot of I show is about your professionalism. It's about how you're growing. It's about how you're managing yourself. It gets to the point where people realize, like, I never have to give that person feedback. She's always just Johnny on the spot. Like, her stuff is always mm-hmm. coming in correct on time. I got no problems. Well, then that's like, okay, well, that means that she's probably got a little bandwidth for me to give her a little more.
Okay.
And that's usually how it happens. It's like you've mastered what's in front of you. And, you know, sometimes you may have to ask for it. And sometimes it's just people will see.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she's got a little more bandwidth there. I'm going to give her a little more responsibility. Mm-hmm. And then once you manage that, it's like, okay, let me give you a little more responsibility. And once mm-hmm. and that's usually how it happens. So I tell people, don't get stuck on the title. A lot of times in most companies, you're going to be doing the job before you get the title. Because... Mm.
Okay.
People want to see that you can do it. Yeah. Like, I managed projects before I was a project manager,
mm-hmm.
right? I managed projects as a project engineer. But once people saw it, and then it was like, oh, well, she's clearly a project manager. People were calling me a project manager before my business card said project manager.
Huh. Okay.
That's just kind of it. And so, but that's partially you knowing where you are and understanding, you know, the culture of where you are.
Mm-hmm.
But I will tell people, you typically are going to do the job before you. You're going to have to show that you could do the job before somebody just like throws you in. You would hate to have a manager who never had management experience. Cause all of us have probably that had that true. Manager who clearly had no idea what they were doing. And as a young engineer, that's like a nightmare to work for. So it's the safest way is to know you have a proven record of being able to manage things before they put you in the management position.
That's giving me a good idea of how I need to shift my mindset.
Yeah, absolutely.
If I want to be in that type of role.
You got
to
show that you can do it, right? There's the ask, but there's also the show.
Yeah.
Right? You're like, no, not only, I earned this opportunity. Like, here mm-hmm. are all these times where I did this.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't entitled, but here's all the things I did. And it's got to be real stuff, right? You don't want to fluff it. It's got to be real thing. If you're coming in for that ask, you got to be like, no, seriously. Yeah. Like, here's all the things I did. Mike, I'm just waiting for you to give me the title.
Yes.
Right?
And the money.
So, okay.
You get the PE.
Yes.
Are you gonna get a raise right away? You still gotta wait 7 to 10 years to see.
Girl, now child, if I was waiting 7 to 10 years, you should judge me. Now come on. No, so here's the thing, I get it. Like, that goes back to your company. Some companies will give you a bonus. Again, mm-hmm. especially a company that's really trying to rev up that PE licensure within the company.
Mm-hmm.
They may give you a bonus. They may give you reimbursements. It's like grad school. Some companies really want people to go back to grad school, so they reimburse for grad school. It's like that, right?
Okay.
But then what I will say is, you know, you got to look at your individual company, but it usually trails behind. Again, mm-hmm. like I said, you walk into a space now. So now you've opened up all these people in front of you. Like, okay, so here's what these other PEs in front of me are doing.
Yeah.
So that's my goal, right? So it may not come in like a big old chunk. But it's as you start to move a little faster, you're going to get to that money. I think I saw something that said, like, most PEs don't get their money right away, but over the duration of their career, they're making way more money than they would have without. Hmm. It's like a degree. Do you need a degree to do every job? No. But you're going to make more money
mm-hmm.
in the breadth of your career. It's your leverage piece.
You're like, I didn't get this PE for no reason.
Right.
I'm qualified.
And not even just that, but, like, that PE opened me up to this project. Like, I couldn't have been on that project without the PE. And now that I was on that project, you see all these great things I did, which you would have never seen because I couldn't get on a job.
Mm-hmm. Right. But now I got on the job. I'm like, and not only did I get on the job because of my license, I showed out. She's out here showing out. Yes. Yes. You know, that's it. And that's usually my thing. And I think one thing that a lot of times we do as women is and I do it all the time. And I've got some coaches in my life who kind of talk me back from this quite frequently. Is, you know, I talked about fear earlier, is that we let the fear of the unknown stop us as women a lot more, I think, than our male counterparts do. Ooh. And I think we also feel that's like good. It's a real thing, though, right? Because mm-hmm. Before I take a position, and I've literally said no to positions where other people were like, are you nuts? Like, take that job. But I'm like, oh, I don't know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. I'm going to look like an idiot. You know, I think they call it the imposter syndrome. You know, Google that. There's a whole thing about us feeling like we don't deserve. Mm-hmm. Right? And other people may see, like, well, why are you nervous? But like you said, like, 70%, knowing 70% of it is pretty darn good. And now you're smart enough, and now you have access once you're in the position to get that last 30.
Yeah.
Right? But a lot of times we tell ourselves we need to know 100. Before mm-hmm. we go into the space, our male counterparts don't care about that. They're like, I know most of it, and I'm smart. Uh-uh. I'll figure out the rest. Right? And we're like, oh, I need to know everything. I need to understand everything mm-hmm. before I go into that position. And again, some of that is healthy. Some of that's going to keep you professionally strong, because you're not just like, oh, I just take a job and I don't know what I'm doing, right? Mm-hmm. There's some good in that, but... you know, I think you can't let the fear stop you. Like, I still do it. I do it all the time. I literally just had a conversation with one of my managers about it, you know, in the last day or so. They're trying to put me up for a position, and I was just like,
take it.
Well, okay. I mean, I don't know. It's an opportunity.
We'll okay.
see. But just know that the PE, it just gives you something else to say, okay, I got a little bit of that. Take a little confidence in that. Like, okay, I passed it. I got that. Doesn't necessarily mean you deserve anything, but the work that PE gave you access to will let you deserve mm-hmm. whatever it is you're looking for. The money, the title, the position, the project, whatever mm-hmm. it is that PE gives you access. It's a key, girl. It's a tool.
All right. So we want people to know that our STEM-powered women can do more than just working in engineering, whatever it is mm-hmm. that we're doing. So what do you do for fun outside of your 9 to 5, even though it's really 7 to 6?
Right? Okay, that's what I was going to start with. I'll be honest with you. I don't have a healthy life-work balance.
Uh-huh.
I'm just going to start there.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I understand.
Just got to acknowledge that.
I went to work this morning.
And you went to work. Right, and went to work.
I'm working right now.
Exactly. So I'm going to start with that. I don't have a healthy life-work balance. I'm working back to it. One of the things I used to really love to do, and it's funny because I'm such a nerd, like even my fun stuff is like related to what I like to do, is that I used to really be into like home improvement and DIY stuff. Like, I'm a dork. So I would be like laying tile and laying floors and painting apartments and making headboards.
Okay.
You know, it's just something I love to do, right? Part of the thing is, like, I wasn't the kid who was taking my mom's, like, microwave and toaster apart. That wasn't my life. Also, mm-hmm. I wasn't trying to get beat up. But that is also, that was not my life. But I was the kid who was, like, drawing and creating. So that's one of the things I always tell women, like, don't think that creative art thing doesn't flow mm-hmm. into it. It absolutely does. That curiosity absolutely flows into STEM. So, like, a lot of those kind of expressions are really things I enjoy to do. I told you I just got a new place, so I'm like, you know, on Wayfair too much and Overstock too much and at Home Goods too much. But
help me decorate my new place.
Girl, bye. I had to have somebody help me.
I don't know what to do.
I don't know what to do either. That's what I like to do. And then I am a member of Alpha Kappa Alpha Sorority Incorporated. So I do a lot of my philanthropist work through there, a lot of community work through the organization. It allows mm-hmm. me to do that. So, you know, outside of that, girl, I'm just zoning out on Netflix.
Okay. All right. So we're going to wrap it up. I want to see, do you have any advice for the STEM-powered women in the field studying to get their degree and just out here trying to survive?
Yeah, absolutely. Trust yourself. That's the first thing. Trust your gut. Get through. That's like the biggest thing I tell people all the time. I keep telling people, like, you don't have anything to prove. One question nobody will ever ask you in an interview is, how many hours did you take per semester?
Yeah.
So you're over there loading yourself up with 18 to 20 hours for what? Mm-hmm. And your GPA is you know, getting, you know, not where you want it to be. You're putting your scholarships at risk. You're doing all these kind of things mm-hmm. to prove to who, yeah. right? I paid the best great hustle lover. Like, I'd be like, how many hours do I need to keep for my scholarship? Okay, all right. So this one's got to go. This class has got to go. Because it's, you know, right? You don't have anything to prove. Your competition is against yourself. And the goal of you going to college is to learn what you're supposed to learn and to move on.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. Now, everything else is gravy. You make great friends, gravy. You join an organization, gravy. But the point of you going to college is to learn what you need to learn and to move on and get that great job, right? So do what you need to do to set yourself up for success when you leave.
Mm-hmm.
And if your GPA's not the greatest, something like taking the FE exam will help level set, right? So maybe your GPA wasn't the best. But at the end of the day, if you got that EIT after your name, people are like, oh, well, you must know the basics of what you were supposed to learn because you passed the FE.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, when you get to the job, just understand that your job is, again, learn what you're supposed to learn and progress.
Okay.
Right? That's it.
I like it.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Miss Amma.
You're welcome. You did so great.
Yay!
I didn't embarrass myself too bad.
You did not.
Thank you for tuning into another episode of the STEM-Powered Women Podcast. I hope you learned something from our discussion that you'll be able to share with others. Visit sistersinstem.org for podcast episodes, stories and advice from your sisters, and much more. Make sure you follow us at The Sisters in STEM on all social media. You can also find me on Instagram at Brittany A. Joy. Whether you're listening on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, or wherever you get your shows, please subscribe so you'll know exactly when a new episode drops. And while you're at it, go ahead and give us 5 stars and leave an awesome review to show your sister some love. Remember, sis, you are an empowered woman, a STEM-powered woman. You've got this. I'll see you on the next one. Bye.